Man, I'm telling you, it's been such a sweet month with the Holy Spirit. It has been such a transformational month. Not that all of us have not experienced the Holy Spirit in some way, but I'm telling you, when you take a church, and even a nation, and you start focusing on the things of the Spirit, it's supernatural. It's beyond what we can even naturally understand what has been going on in this last month. And I believe we're going to see it unfold as we walk into this year. We're going to see a manifestation of what this month has really been about in our lives. I always love when you see, you know, when the apostles, when they came to a place that the Holy Spirit became a focus point in their life, things changed. I mean, they were not the same. They walked in more power. They walked in more truth. They walked in more strength. The world changed from the focus on the Holy Spirit at that time. And I believe that's what God is getting this world prepared for. It's getting prepared for a change in the spirit realm. Because what happens in the spirit changes the natural. No matter how much we want it to be the other way, it's not going to be the other way. It is what happens in the spirit changes what we naturally are involved in. And I love when we start, I say, you give me a battle. It don't matter what kind of battle it is. Natural, spiritual, you give me a battle and I'm going to take it into the spirit place. And I'm going to take it into a spiritual place where we can always overcome. Because you can always be victorious in the spirit. You can always come into agreement with what God is wanting to do, and you can break apart the plans of the enemy. And so I am so excited. Last year, there seemed such a gloom on the church, almost like a depression on the church where we were going. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is alive, and He is well, and He is active, and He is defeating, and He is the very words of God, and it is manifested in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are leading us and guiding us and strengthening us. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will take you places you don't even think you could go. It takes you places, what, you know, said, He takes me places I don't even want to go. But you can trust Him. You can trust Him because He is such a sweet friend. I love the way that it was laid out for us. Man, it is a person and it's personal. And I'm going to tell you, I am devoted this year to walking out a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit like I have never walked before. And where I walk, He's going to walk. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit invades a place, things change. So it's going to be a really, really good year. It's going to be such a fantastic season to see what God has been doing in the Spirit all along. This morning I have a real neat word. I feel like it's a real important word. And I believe that as I'm personally walking into this year, it's the word that God is telling me almost every step in every way. And I think it's going to bring such change in our lives. So if I'm not walking through it, I'm not saying it. So everything that I say is personal to me because I believe that God teaches us so that we can teach others. That every one of you in here have that same commandment. God teaches you so you could teach others. So, you know, Paul says, I take my feet and I drag it so that people that walk behind me, they can see which way I walked. A lot of my dragging has been falling and getting up and falling and getting up, but I'm not stopping. We don't stop. We don't stop. We just keep moving into all that God has for us. There is, I believe, a supernatural effect that's going on in this season. And we have not caught up with it naturally yet. I believe we'll begin to see the fruits of it naturally, but it has become a spiritual beginning, so it's going to have a great effect. And every season that we walk into, God has a place for us to learn and grow. So what I'm speaking on this morning is going to be inhale and exhale. Can you inhale and exhale? Monica, can you inhale and exhale? Show me how you do that. Yes, everybody can do that. Everybody can breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And the truth is, if you don't do that, you're going to start turning blue, and we're going to get really, really worried about you in just a little bit of time. If you don't begin to do that, all of us might be over there trying to help you. Inhale and exhale. But I love the way that God brings things to me very simple, because I'm extremely simple-minded, and He knows that I have to understand it that way. Now, I'm going to tell you, this year, God wants you to begin to inhale and exhale out the purposes, the plans, the thoughts, the Holy Spirit in a way like you have never done it before. Because God has great plans for where you're at in your life. God has great supernatural plans for the place He has put your foot on. God has a purpose for you to be there, even though a lot of us, I believe, have questioned, God, why am I here? I can see you doing things everywhere else, but here, God? Here? A lot of us, God has positioned us in places. It would take something completely supernatural for there to be a spiritual change in that place. But I'm going to tell you, that's the way God works. That's the way God works. God does not come into things that are awesome. God comes in and makes things awesome. That's the way He works in our life. So this year, I just want the simple process of hearing inhale and exhale. That's my job. That's my job. That's my responsibility. That is spiritually how God is going to help us grow this year. That is spiritually how God is going to manifest Himself in our lives and in our areas where He has placed us this year. Because it's not going to be anything we can do natural. What we talked about last time. It is not a natural work that God is wanting us to build. It's a spiritual work that is going to have to be manifested in our lives and come out of us for everything around us to be affected by it. This year, I believe that God is wanting to drop things off of our life or for things to die. Because that's what the Spirit of God does. When the breath of God begins to be breathed over, things that are not God dries up. Things that are not God dies off. But things that are spirit, things that are God, they begin to grow and flourish and become alive and become the Bible says it'll become a great army. God says as you begin to blow on these situations, there's a supernatural effect that's causing great impact where you're at. So this year, I want you to really understand that as you begin to simply walk in the simple exercise of spiritually inhaling what God is saying to you daily, and spiritually receiving what God is telling you, and as you open up your mouth and you begin to let it come out into environments, into jobs, into relationships, you don't even have to say it to a person for it to come out into the spiritual world. Do you know that? And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to change a situation by saying it to a person. You're going to change a situation by speaking it in the spirit and causing a manifestation of life coming out of it. Because I'm going to say it again, things in this world are not made up by what we can see. They're made up by what we can't see. But there's life in it. So this year, we are going to move into a spiritual process, and I believe that every person in this church is going to be given the opportunity to cause life to flow where you're at. For there to be a birthing of things that are only supernatural, that God is going to give you the simple process of inhale and exhale. And I can do that. And I can do that. Jeremiah 37. We're going to stay here and we're going to work through this entire chapter because this is a chapter I believe all of us knows, but I'm going to tell you this is a chapter for this season. This is a chapter for this season. I'm just going to read a bunch of it, then I come back and talk through it. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 says, "The hand of the Lord God came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord. And He set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and I said, Only, O Lord God, You know." I'm going to tell you, the greatest wisdom you ever think that you can come up with in no way compares to the wisdom of God. That in no way compares to what God's thoughts, to what He is thinking, how He is planning. So you need to, this year, kind of come into a place to where you're like, my thoughts are only going to be what I can inhale and exhale out into this season. Because God has great wisdom for us, I believe, in this season. "And again He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Now I'm going to change that word prophesied because I'm going to say we are going to inhale and exhale, because prophecy is the wisdom of God in our life. So I inhaled and exhaled as I was commanded. And as I inhaled and exhaled, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, inhale and exhale out, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I inhaled and exhaled as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. It is such a supernatural place to be in the supernatural timing of God and to be allowing him to breathe through you, because you have no idea what is under your feet. We have no idea what place we are standing and what dry bones God has already positioned there that are just waiting for the inhaling and exhaling out of God in this season. Breath, another word that can be translated there, is spirit. So you need to understand what you might think that it is just a word, it is just a faith, it is just a moment. It is the Spirit of God that's coming into you. And it's the Spirit of God that's wanting to come out of you. And it's the Spirit of God that's wanting to change dead things and bring them to life. And I'm going to tell you, you're a fortunate person, because God is wanting to use you. God is wanting to use you. God is wanting to come into your life, your job, your family, your situation, and he's wanting to let the Spirit of God breathe out of your mouth and bring life into places where you're at. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a plan of the enemy to get us to think completely opposite of the plan of God in our life. So if you come back, and we're going to start back at 37, this is what it says. Before I jump there, I'm going to start real quick. One reason I believe that God is really wanting us to understand this is because I believe that God is wanting to make where our feet is standing holy ground. Man, a couple years ago, God came to me and Mike and over a job that he's at, and God said, I want to make that holy ground. Where your feet is, where I've placed you, I want to make that holy ground. And I'm going to tell you, both of us kept on saying, God, that is anything but holy. How many of you know? I mean, seriously, you're in places or you're in seasons or even in your family, and you say, God, that is anything but holy. The warfare, the demonic powers, the battles of the enemy, the plans that have been agreed, that is anything but holy. But I'm going to tell you, what makes a place holy has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. What makes a place holy is when God shows up. It's when God shows up. It's when God steps in. It's when God starts speaking. It's when God starts breathing. It's when God's plans start being formed in our spirit. That's where a holy place begins. So I believe that you need to know that where your feet are, if you're where God told you to be, no matter what it looks like, God is wanting to make it be holy ground. There is a manifestation of God's presence that his desire is to bring through you. In Ezekiel 37, it says, the Lord, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and the Lord brought me in the spirit of the Lord. For God to make where you are a holy ground, you've got to be able to see spiritually. Because God's going to take you spiritually where you're going way before you see any part of it manifesting in the natural. So God's going to come into your life, and he's going to start giving you a spiritual movement that spiritual movement will cause natural movements to get behind it. You're going to have to be someone who can move into a place spiritually and stand where God has told you to stand until every natural thing that's around you lines up with what God is saying to you. It is such a unique place to be here. It is such a fortunate place to be in this season where God is wanting to manifest Himself into your life. It's not mine. Where your feet are is not where my feet. Where my feet are is not where your feet. But God is going to do the same thing for me that He's going to do for you. He's going to make your feet holy ground. He wants to make your job holy ground. He wants to make your family holy ground. He wants to make your position holy ground. God is wanting to show up and do things that have been His plan all along. That's why you're there. That's why you're there. And it says, He set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Now, in my Bible, if it says a word, it'll show you that word in another meaning. You know, so because like Greek Hebrew words can mean two different things. So it's so highlighted when I read this about a year ago. It said, and He set me down in the midst of the plain place. I'm going to tell you, in my life and where I feel like me and my husband have walked so many times, the enemy has come and he has said, that is a plain place. That is just normal. There's a lot of people that seem to be doing things that God, you can see their hand, right? You can say, man, they work in the church. They are over a ministry. That is absolutely a position where I could see God was wanting to move. I'm going to tell you, it is a lie of the enemy that where your feet are, if God moves you there, it's a plain place. Because God does not look at things the way we look at them. And it doesn't matter if you work at a gas station or if you're a doctor or if you're a mother at home with your kids. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, that place is the place that God has put your feet, and God is wanting to do things because you're there. Plain has nothing to do with it. And any time that the enemy comes to me and says, your life is just natural, there's not many, you know, that there's not much that God could really do there. God brings me back to this right here. God begins in the plain places. God begins a spiritual movement in the plain places. All throughout the Bible, men were in plain places when God began to move them into things that changed so much because they stood in that plain place and they breathed. Think about Moses. Moses, and I will jump to it because I'm determined to open my Bible. A lot of times I'll preach and I won't open my Bible. And y'all get the crystal version, and it's not always it's not always the New King James version. So I'm determined today to open my Bible more. All right, in Genesis 12, I say that. No, it's not going to be Genesis 12. It's going to be Exodus 12. In Exodus 12, we see Moses in his life in a very plain place. And I want to really highlight that word because I believe, no, that is still not right. Keep on going back. Maybe 3. Maybe Exodus 3. Is it 3? Yeah. Exodus 3. We find Moses in his life in a very plain place. And I believe the enemy has lied to a lot of you. That he's told you that where you at is not, it's not somewhere that there could be a great spiritual movement. But I want you to know that's a lie. That is a lie, because God is wanting to move you into that place to transform that place. Moses found himself, it says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb. Now, I can't think of many more plain places but the back of the desert. The desert alone is a pretty plain place. It's dried. But when you go to the back of the desert, I'm pretty sure that he was convinced that God did not see him, that God had no idea where he was. I'm pretty sure he was in a position in his life when he thought, when I get back to Egypt, God will use me. When I get back to that place, I will be able to step into what God has for me. But I'm going to tell you, God didn't step into his life when he was in Egypt. God stepped into his life when he was in the back of the desert in a position to hear God. And he came to him and he said, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and he beheld the bush that was burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. When I read that just not too long ago, God really convicted my heart, because every time I read that, I always think there had to be a real fire there for Moses to stop and look. How many of you would agree? How many of you have thought there had to be a real fire? And I'm not saying this morning there was, and I'm not saying there's not. But what I'm telling you is, when God is drawing your eyesight to something in a spiritual way, it has a lot of times more effect than a natural burning bush ever would have in your life. If God is drawing your eyesight into a position or into a place, or if He is causing you to stop and take notice of something in the spirit, because it was spirit that was on that bush. It was something that was going on in the spirit. Now, I'm saying that, and everybody in this room is saying, oh, it was something more than that. That shows our crazy thinking, because I thought the same way. But I'm going to tell you, what is spiritual makes up what is natural. It is not the other way around. And we've got to move into this season coming into agreement with greater is the spirit that's in me than what is naturally in this world that I can see. There is a greater power in the spirit. There is a greater force that comes in the spirit. There is greater movement in the spirit than this natural world will ever step into. There is a spiritual eyesight that Moses had to see. There was something he had to see that was more than just a burning bush. He had to realize something spiritually was going on there. So when the Lord saw, he turned aside, and God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, and he said, here I am. And he said, don't draw near to this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. God came to Moses in a deserted place, in a season where it was almost impossible for anything spiritual to happen. And when God showed up, a place on this earth became holy ground. Holy ground. It became such a defined place of holy ground that that mountain became known as the mountain of God. And when Elijah was in an intense battle, running from the enemy, do you know where Elijah went back to find that presence of God? On that mountain where it was declared, this is holy ground. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what your plain place looks like. It doesn't matter what your job looks like. It doesn't matter what your family looks like. The truth is, God is wanting to make it holy. And holy is not defined by how perfect you are, by how right you are, by how many things you do right. Holy is defined when God shows up and we start receiving His presence in the place where we're at. This world needs some holy places. This nation needs some holy places. Every job I know of right now needs a holy place, because God is wanting to show up and show who is King. And we have got to be a people that will allow it into our lives. Allow it. All your part is inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale. I can do that. Can you do that? Yes, we can be a people who will let the Spirit move us. Now we're going to go on. It says, then he calls me back at Ezekiel 37. You might well stay right there, because I'm going to jump all over the night today. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. Has the enemy lied to you? Has he told you that where you're at is such a spiritually dried up place that God would have to move you to bless you? Has he lied to you? Has he told you that he would have to move you out of there for something of God ever to come into your life? If God told you to be there, God is wanting to use you as the avenue to breathe it into existence. Don't buy the plan of the enemy. Don't buy the lie of the many. It don't matter how dry the situation you're in is spiritually. One breath of God causes life to breathe into it, and it will stand up on its feet. One breath of God. You know, think back to Joshua. You know, Joshua had an encounter with God, and God showed up and told Joshua. He said, Joshua, it was an angel, and he came and said, this is holy ground. Before that, they were actually moving into, at the moment when they were moving into the promised land, God came and said, this is holy ground. And I'm going to tell you, we call Israel right now the holy land. Do we not? It still stands today. That there is a supernatural work that God is wanting to establish where you're at. And it's got a lot more to do with than you. But God is wanting to use you. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. And I just want to point out again, God's wisdom is greater than the wisdom you will ever be able to comprehend on your own. I don't care how smart you are. I'm not very smart. So So I don't, that does not blow my mind. But some people really think they're smart. But I'm going to tell you the truth, you can't think out the plans of God that God has for you where you're at. And you can't build the plans of God if you try to do them with your own mindset. You've got to live out this year, this attitude. Oh God, only you know. Oh God, only you know what your will is for my family. Oh God, only you know what your will is for this season. Oh God, only you know what you are wanting to do. Because I can promise you, God knows. It's written in a book. He's already planned it out day by day by day. Your life story is already written out. He has not forgotten where you're at. He's planned it for you. He knows, and it is a good plan. The wisdom of God needs a vessel to flow through. That's all it needs. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. You only have to receive. That is your part in this season. And again he said to me, prophesy, or breathe in, breathe out, to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You have got to be in a position in your life to pray that people and that situations and that circumstances will hear what God is saying. Because not everybody's going to hear. Not everybody and not every place and not every situation is going to hear. And a lot of reasons they don't hear is they have nobody praying it into their life. You are lucky. If you are in this church, I'm going to tell you the truth. Somebody probably prayed you in here. And you have a responsibility as the body of Christ to win positions that you're placed in, to move into a place of intercession. That God, the only thing that's wrong on this job is that people are not hearing your voice. The only thing that is wrong in my family is people are not hearing your voice. God, give them an ear to hear. Give them a place to stand. Open up their hearts. Reveal to them. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says those who have mercy on them will lead them. If you think God's going to move you into a place of leadership and you aren't interceding for where you're walking into, God will not use you because He can't. You have got to have a heart that has the heart of God. And the heart of God is that all men come unto Him. Not just you and not just your family, that all men come unto God. That is a heart of God. And I'm going to tell you, that burns the flesh off real quick. That burns the flesh off real quick. You get into a place where you're standing and you're breathing out the word of God and the enemy is using every available ear to come against you. That burns it off right there, because you are going to want to fight man's fight. But we don't. We move into a place of the Spirit and we begin to take a spiritual stand. And we begin to say, God, your word has the final word. And I pray that everything lines up with your word in my life. Everything. Including me. Including me. Including me. That's most of the time probably my husband's prayer right there. Including her. Oh, I love him. But you've got to know. You've got to know. You've got to walk into that season in intercession. You've got to know that you've got to be someone that can stand, but that will also intercede. You know, I wonder if I have time. In 1 Kings 28, it shows the importance. If I just turned to that, if I opened my Bible to that, that was a miracle. All right, 1 Kings 28. And the truth is, if you're in a position and God is not birthing a heart of mercy and grace, you're not letting God have a full work in you. Because God will put you in a position and then He will expect mercy. And He will expect grace. And He will expect a strong stand against sin. But He will definitely expect you to have the heart of God while you're standing in it. So you're not letting Him fully use you or fully speak into you if you aren't birthing out the fruits of the Spirit in your life. All right, in verse 28. Now what happened was, an attack had come on Israel. And so the king of Israel, and what happened in that, man, the king of Israel gave in a little bit. He let the enemy have some. I've done that in my life. To bring peace with the enemy, I've let the enemy have some. But I'm going to tell you, if you let the enemy have some, he's not happy with some. He wants all. He will not stop until he has all of it. So you can't have peace with the enemy. You can't compromise with the enemy. Because the enemy's stand is to crumble you. So he's not going to come out and just take a small portion. He's going to come in and take all. So the king of Israel called the elders of the land and said, "Notice, please, and see how this man seeks trouble. For he sent to me for my wives, my children, my silver, and my gold, and I did not deny him." I'm going to tell you, the enemy has robbed a lot of our things because we have compromised. God is not a God of compromise. And I'm going to tell you, when God comes in and begins to breathe a breath of holiness, things fall off. But we don't compromise with the enemy and lose. We don't compromise with the enemy and lose. So then it goes over to 8 and it says, "And all the elders and all the people said to him, 'Do not listen or consent.'" I'm going to tell you the truth. It is important that we understand that people around us are just listening to the wrong voices. They are just listening. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to be honest enough with yourself. You've got to hold yourself before God and say, "God, what am I hearing? What am I listening to? Is it birthing in me faith, love, joy, peace, encouragement? Is it birthing the fruits of the Spirit? Because if it's not, you're not listening to the right voice. You're not listening to the Spirit. The Spirit births the Spirit. The Spirit, and if you can walk into a situation and get as mud as fire and walk out spitting, I don't care if you're making a right stand, you're not listening to the Spirit. The Spirit births Spirit. The Spirit holds us accountable to Spirit. There is a strong place that God is calling us to and to grow. So it's extremely important that as we move, that we begin to pray over people to hear. Because I'm going to tell you, you can pray judgment. If you pray judgment, though, what does the Bible say you get back? Judgment. I don't want judgment. I fail way too many times in my life every day. If I start praying down the judgment of God, I'm going to walk into a situation and I'm going to get the judgment of God. But I'm going to pray that people hear. Because when they hear, they can do and see things they never thought they could do or see before. You need to intercede for this season as you walk into it. But the truth is, not everybody will hear. And some people will fall off. Some situations will fall off. And I'm going to tell you, even on yourself, some things naturally will begin to fall off as God begins to breathe into you what His desire is for your life. And again He said to me, "Now thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live.'" There's no question about it. God's word is faithful. God's word will be true. If you stand where God told you to stand, and if you speak out what God is telling you to speak out, I don't care if it's saying that this book is red. If God said it, and if He's telling you to say it, you say it until it becomes what God has said. You speak out into it until it changes. It's going to be a miraculous work because it was in the beginning. It will not probably go with the norm. But that's okay, because you know what? We weren't called to live a normal life. We were called to live a supernatural walk on this earth. When we walk out of this world, people should say, "God was there." God should be in every step that you take. All right, and I'm going to throw it in right here because I think it's important. Stay right there. Everybody jump to Isaiah 51. Because the Word of God is supposed to be in your mouth. The Word of God is not supposed to just stay in your spirit. The Word of God is supposed to be in our mouth. Because if we keep it here, and if it don't come out here, it might change here, but this world needs to see God. This world needs to see a transformation. This world, your job needs to see transformation. There needs to be a spiritual move. Isaiah 51:7. I love this one. It says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." I'm going to tell you, the enemy is going to raise up a battle in this season as you are beginning to breathe. But I'm going to tell you from the get-go, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You will not fail if you stand with God. 15, "But I am the Lord your God, who divided the seas, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is His name. And I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens. I'm going to tell you, the heavens are up there, but God wants the heavens on earth. God wants to come into where you're at, and He wants to plant some supernatural, some heavenly things. And God needs someone that will take the Word of God, put it in their spirit, let it come out of their mouth, and start a building process. The enemy has had way too long building. He has had way too long in this world establishing his kingdom. God says, my kingdom come. My will be done on earth. On earth. God wants to change every job, every business, every family. God wants to change it to be a heavenly place. That is originally God's plan. I'm going to tell you, and it didn't change. That is still God's plan today. We just got to get in alignment with what the Spirit is saying. And breathe in and breathe out. And breathe in and breathe out. I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. God wants to declare you are his people. God wants to declare it to you, but I'm going to tell you, God wants to declare it outside of you. God wants to declare that where you're at, that you are so special to him, that he would use you, that he would bless you, that he would speak through you, and that he will change your environment for you. You are his people. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You might think, why did God want to do this for me? Why? Why? I'm going to tell you, number one, because it's you. God loves you. And God is invested in you. God put you there because he knew what he could do through you. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to do it more than you, because faith births faith. If God can start one action, one avenue of an incredible stand and a mighty move of God, God can change a lot more than just you. Faith births faith. In the New Testament, when Jesus was traveling, this man came up to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. Can you come and heal her? And Jesus, of course, did what Jesus always did. I mean, Jesus came to heal. Jesus came to set free. And Jesus said, yes, I will. And as Jesus started going, there was a little lady that was sitting in the back. There was a little lady that for 12 years had been bound by sickness, that had been tormented in her body, that was in such a place of weakness. And because she saw God move there, do you know what instantly she did? It said, quickly, she got up and she went and touched Jesus, his garment. Your faith will activate faith in other people's life that they might not have the strength to have. God cares about the other people too. God cares about people that maybe do not have what you have to hear what you hear. But God will use you to build such a faith in your environment that people will come to you and say, is this what God is doing? Is this what God is saying? God does not want people that sit in the pews. God wants disciples. God wants a mighty church in the church and out of the church. God wants to create the environment that's in here, out there. Out there. And God wants to use you and me. God is not happy with the church being enclosed. God wants the church to be the entire world. God's desire is that all men come unto him. All men. Even the person at work that is so mean to you. All men. All men. So I begin to speak in, and breathe out as I was commanded. And as I breathed in and breathed out, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. I feel like this is my one warning today. Everything else I want to do is I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. I want you to know what God is saying, but I have to do that in warning you. The enemy is not going to like what God is doing. The enemy is not going to be happy that somebody has gotten in alignment and begin to breathe through you. The earth will begin to tremble. There will be, and I wish God would have told me this back 4 years ago when me and my husband walked into a battle and we were so full of faith. I mean, God, you are making this place holy. God, I wish I would have known that there would have been a quaking and a rumbling. I wish I would have known that, because I had to learn that the hard way. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The enemy has to crumble for God to be lifted up. The enemy has to crumble. You know, when God came to the children of Israel and he began to speak a word of deliverance, it happened before Moses. It actually happened right at the beginning of the Exodus. Let me tell you another word for holy place is fear of God. When God begins to speak in your life, there will be such a holy fear of God that you know that God is about to do what he says he's about to do, and you better get in alignment with it. Because God will be faithful to more than just you. So when God began to bring on Egypt and the children of Israel a fear of God, the natural people had no idea how to handle it. This is what Pharaoh said. It's amazing to me. Because, I'm going to tell you, the enemy is irrational. The enemy is demonic, but he's also irrational. And if you see or see situations that seem completely irrational, what you know is there's not a spiritual stand there. It's a very natural stand. There's an irrational behavior when God begins to move spiritually that the enemy steps into. And it said, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they join our enemies and fight against us and go up out of the land. I'm going to tell you, that's an irrational argument if you want somebody on your side any good day. That is just retarded. But I want you to know that fear does not make sense. So if God is breathing freedom, if God is birthing a holy place, the enemy is going to move in fear. And if you're in fear of what God is doing, you are not hearing the right voice. If you're in fear of what God is saying, you are not hearing God's voice clearly. Because God is for you to help you overcome. And the Egyptians, they acted very foolishly because the fear of God came on that place. God declared that to be a holy place. And when they did, there were a few people there. See, when the fear of God comes, when God declares holiness, it should birth faith in you. Supernatural faith. Uncommon faith. When God begins to speak to you and you begin to hear it and receive it, there should be a righteous stand that rises up out of you and says, this is God's place and I'm God's people. It should come up out of your spirit. There was two Israelite women that are named in here. I can't imagine there was not more. But as he began to say, kill the babies, they said, we won't. We can't. They became such in a place of where they feared God more than man. And it says that in 17, it says the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children. When God begins to birth a place in your life that's holy, you've got to fear God more. You've got to come into alignment and not allow more. You've got to make a holy stand more, because faith should come with the fear of God. Not fear. Not fear. Because the enemy will attempt to defeat what God is trying to breathe. You need to know that now, but I'm going to tell you the end of that story. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, church. It will not be a success. You keep on standing. You keep on hearing. You keep on breathing. You keep on hearing. You keep on breathing. God will accomplish all that he said that he would do.